Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
All right, we're going to get into it again today as we await the jury's decision in the Lindsey Clancy case. As we are sitting here on Monday morning, Lindsey Clancy jury started deliberating. 9 women, 3 men, 5 verdict options. Both sides agree she killed Cora Dawson and Callan. That is not up for debate, despite what you may be understanding if you're just watching TikTok. Patrick's not an option. The fight is whether she understood what she was doing. That's what we're going to be getting into. We're going to talk about the prosecution's case and how that landed, how the defense cases landed from various perspectives, and what is going on as we move ahead. Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us, retired FBI special agent, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and masterclass extraordinaire instructor. Links, by the way, in the description. Let's start with this. Sprague's theory is that Clancy couldn't end her own life while her children were alive, that they were basically the protective factor, and so she removed them. This is part of the psychotic thinking, if you will, where true north is truly pointing southwest, and she's not aware that this sort of thinking is crazy. Not rage, not psychosis, a decision. Let's talk about that, because the bar is not necessarily a specific diagnosis of psychosis. It's not having essentially your wits about you to understand right from wrong. Whatever that is that's going on in your mind is what it is. But arriving to that decision, a decision itself, do you buy that? And doesn't that prove psychosis or something very much like it, even if it's not that exact word, Jen?
I don't buy it. I don't want a free sample of it. I don't believe it. Look, this is the problem. I can't ignore the facts. I cannot ignore the facts of what she did to set up her opportunity to take her children's lives. I just can't. I can't ignore the fact she got her husband out of the house. She sent him to a specific place. She sent him to another place. She mapped it all out. She knew the time frames. There is no chance I can get over the premeditation in this case to say the voices that, by the way, only lasted 18 minutes somehow made her do this. I can't get it. I can't go there.
It's interesting, Jen, because, you know, when I was listening to, and for everyone that's watching, and everyone knows that, you know, Jen and us, 180s on the thoughtfulness of her before this. And so, but again, we're engaging it in a really thoughtful way, which I enjoy on this, even though it's surrounding a horrendous loss of 3 lives. And so that isn't lost on any of us, is that it's all about the 3 lives that were lost. It's just talking about the culpability of her being criminally responsible for it or not. And so on that, Jen, it was interesting listening to Reddington's closing statement, where he actually had a different optic and context, which I hadn't really locked onto before, about what you just said. You say, and granted, I'm on the side of arguing that you can do all that planning in a psychotic break and for that amount of time. Now, granted, I saw your post on it. Yes, it's a slim amount of time, and I am not a medical expert on this by any stretch of imagination. I've just watched all the testimony and only the people that testified, because, again, that is when we're talking about justice, that's where justice is. Justice is in the process and the system. And for my optic, I think it's been served well so far, because it's the process, right? But what happened was Reddington gave this optic saying that she wasn't checking all these things and planning it out to get him out of the house. She did it to check how fast he's going to be back to the house, because she didn't want to be without him, which is a completely different optic, which was... So for me, I now have two things that I'm holding in my mind. I'm holding the fact that I thought originally and agreed from, again, my understanding of what was presented, that this was a psychotic break for that period of time because of all these mental health issues that were coming up. And now every single clinician that testified, both sides agreed that she was in a severe mental crisis. Some said it was she had criminal responsibility for it, and some on the defense side didn't. But again, a lot of overlap there. But again, adding that new dimension to it, that's his take for the closing, was very interesting, saying that actually wasn't her trying to get him out. It was actually her planning, how fast can I get him back?
Okay.
But you don't believe, so I want to add more one thing. So I'm so sorry.
No problem.
From what you've said and what you've said the entire time, you don't believe, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, you don't believe her, and you don't believe anyone that testified that she is truthful. She's been tested for MI, the test saying that she is got a lot of veracity, that she's never lied in the past. The family members that agree with it, and all the psychologists also said that she was forthright. If nothing else, she minimized. And so you don't believe any of that?
No, that's way too blanketed for
okay.
sure.
Correct.
I mean, I would have to go, you know, very much point by point. But no, that definitely is not my blanket statement. But back to what you said about Reddington, this is why that's baloney, in my opinion. It's because if you give me the proof where she's done that before, if I'm the defense attorney and that's anywhere near truthfulness, I would have put up I would have shown other instances. I would have said, see, we have her cellular footprint here. Look, she did this all the time when he left on this and this, and he tracked and took down. We didn't see any of that because it didn't exist, because this is the time she did it, and she did it when she decided to murder her kids.
Yeah, fair point. So I'll go back to my original then.
I guess, is it? I mean, I do wonder, like, did they look to see if this is a pattern for her on that? Because they would be looking at an area that wasn't part of a crime. I mean, could that be overlooked? Could that be something they never went back and thought, hey, does she do this every time he leaves the house? I don't know how frequently he left the house.
Not with a guy like Reddington, in my opinion. I mean, okay. For all of his, you know, what I might not like about him, I think he's a very savvy attorney.
Sure.
I think he's very well spoken, all of that. I think he knows how to defend. And if he had that nugget, oh my gosh. And with all the people helping and the millions of dollars that have been raised in this thing, he would be all over it.
Yeah, good counterpoint to it. I agree.
So you're very much of the opinion that she, because I'm trying to understand the premeditation here. The premeditation, from what I'm understanding of all this, is her looking up the distance to the store, the restaurant. Is that the extent of it? I mean, is there more premeditation here that I'm missing of her planning this big thing? I'm literally asking, am I missing something here that you're seeing, Jen, where she's been planning this for a long period of time, more so than just like right before she says, you know, go pick this up. Here's, you know, the info on the phone.
Like days or weeks or,
yeah.
I mean, like how far in front of the event?
Where is this premeditation talking about that I seem to be missing other than that? I know that technically qualifies as premeditation. It just doesn't have a lot of, you know, anchoring to it, if you will, beyond just she looked it up right there.
Or we've seen more. This is a good way to put it.
It's kind of a lot when you really track, and I have this really great rundown, point by point, minute by minute rundown of every text message, the calls, adding in the Pedialax, communication about exactly, I want a bowl, what are you going to get? All of that that elongated the amount of time and showed the preparation. So you asked, though, which I think is such a great question, how long do I think she premeditated? Was this weeks? Was this months? I think, and I wrote this and some people hated it. I should have put my disclaimer, obviously, at the top, although I've done this on every case and now all of a sudden people notice it. But the disclaimer about what I think was going through her head, I think it was that day. I think that was when, you know, straw that broke the camel's back and the relief set in and the premeditation started. And that's when I think it happened.
That's a fascinating statement you just made, Jen. So you think that the premeditation started that day, and you just said the straw that broke the camel's back. So the straw for me that broke the camel's back and on the side of that not criminal responsibility is the fact that that everything led up to the psychotic break where she had the command hallucination. For you, for the fact that she was totally witting and conscious of what she's doing is making a choice to this, what do you think was a straw that broke her pack? Because I think it was, psychologically, medically induced, you know, from chemical imbalances and all the other psychosis going on. What for you was a straw that broke her back that caused that switch to go off that said, I'm going to kill my kids now. I'm very witting of it.
Well, so when you look at everything leading up to it, have you guys read things like her posts on Facebook, her issues with Dawson that was building up? Do you guys remember? And I'm sure you do. I'm not saying that you don't. Right. We all watch this trial. But the looking closely back at what Patrick said about her struggling and things seemingly getting worse as the approach of her returning to work was happening, about how she wanted to harm the children. And I think they downplayed it, but at least they admitted, the mother and Patrick, that she said she wanted to harm the children. As I said, I really think this is a downplay. And I think that built up. This is not unlike other cases where people want to kill their children. It really just isn't. I know people say it is because they are putting this PPP on it. You know, one of the cases that, and I don't think we discussed it, did we talk about the lady from Maine yet?
The lady from Maine. Which one?
You gotta look at her. 1950s, late 1950s. I'm sorry, her name does.
Yeah, I saw something about you posted something about it the other day, and I looked. I don't recall a lot of details, but briefly.
It's a very interesting case because it's a case about a woman with children approximately these same ages, and she drowned her three children, and ultimately she was declared insane, not criminally liable, and goes to a mental institution. She's in the mental institution for 5 years. Her husband stays by her side on all of this, asks for her to be released, does the legal proper paperwork. They said, listen, she's all better. They let her out. She has three more children, and she kills all three of them. And that is precisely my point on this, is women do this, they repeat it, they don't get over it. That's why I think Andrea Yates has said, listen, keep me here. There is no chance I can handle having kids. And I guess she thinks she might. She's unsafe. And it's because they know. They absolutely know what they're doing. This isn't some sort of blackout. This isn't something they can't help. Remember, she was texting and communicating in the middle of the murders.
And as described from the mental health experts there, psychosis isn't a blackout, though.
Psychosis isn't anything you're describing.
Well, you say it's nothing I'm describing. I know. And listen, I thought the experts were all very interesting in their own rights. I learned a lot in different ways in a general aspect. But what I could never overcome, and I'm seeing it now more online, is that they just, as I said at the beginning, to me, they are just a check mark off. They don't help the case. They don't hurt the case. And this happens a lot with experts, by the way.
Right. They cancel each other out.
jurors come back and say they're totally canceled. And that's what in social media people are saying. I canceled them out early because I cannot take somebody's point of view that wasn't treating her, interviewing her, understanding her at the time. And I certainly can't take this whole medication thing, especially now that they all named off these same medications that they named off before, plus Wellbutrin. It's so ridiculous. Right.
And so to me, I agree. And, you know, and Bob Mott even covered it years ago when, again, I'll keep, you know, touting his great Gacy case in Buried, because the same thing there. His dad was going for not guilty by reason of insanity with a horrendous serial killer. And talking about the difficulty of bringing experts on there, because all in essence they cancel each other out. But to me, that also opens your mind to the possibility of it could be this, but they cancel each other out. That's why from the very get-go for me on this case has been the family, friends, colleagues, workers, her life arc and their life arc, the healthy relationship. Because I was talking to Todd and Tony before this as well, and to everyone else. If it hadn't been for them, I mean, so here's my thought experiment. They're the ones that keep me in the camp of this was such a massive deviation. And I used this analogy the other day. Someone said she's a monster. And I said, well, there was a monster in there, but that wasn't the Lindsay monster, because something else entered there because a monster did those things. And that's where the psychosis or the mental illness comes in. Because without those people saying all those things, standing by your side, and this isn't just your average people staying this. I look into not just the relationship they have with Lindsay, but the relationship they have with each other, the types of lives they leave. I mean, these are good, strong, healthy people with no deviations, no wobbles. I've never seen, so I can't even come close to comparing the other case we've covered to this, because there's not that circle of people around her that are the same. If any of them, if there had been a few people in that circle that had leakage on issues, strife, challenges, bad relationships, any wobbles in there like this, my outlook on this might be very, very different, because again, if you're going to go down the road that experts cancel each other out, what are you left with? What's a jury left with? They're left with a testimony of all these people. You know, all the people the prosecution brought up were the ones that sided with her and how healthy she was and how this was so out of the norm. And that's why the statute, this is why this was brought in the first, back in London, you know, the UK many, many years ago in the 1800s, when it first got codified, it got brought into the United States and our criminal justice system, Massachusetts, in the 50s into the 60s, got updated. John Hinckley's case in the 80s updated even further, actually reduced it, made it lower. I mean, I've done so much research understanding the statute, but again, this is a system working, but that's how I've seen this. And when you cancel out the experts and you go down the road of what are you left with, that's why I see it.
And I just think there's so much left that doesn't have an agenda, that doesn't have anything other than the facts. And that is what we can see in the digital footprint. And that's what people are seemingly, for some reason, not discussing right here. We need to discuss the facts. The opinions are interesting, but they have a lot of agenda. Patrick's agenda, they are in bed together, by the way. They have that huge lawsuit that nobody wants to talk about against the healthcare providers. That puts them as needing to have the same agenda, the same voice put forth. They have lot of money to
or get. They have a very legitimate case against failed healthcare providers.
I'm just saying,
and not necessarily an agenda, but more so a shared mission of exposing bullshit
of retribution against horrible care and kill their kids. Right?
I mean, it's not everything is like let's go make this a fucking payday. It's more like we're gonna expose the shit out of this, and if financially that's how a civil case works. It's not like and a big fuck you at the end of the day on a big postcard. It's money.
Is about money, though. It all is. When you set up a GoFundMe right away,
his friend did. He didn't set that up himself. That was nobody directly with the family did that.
They know they are the receiver of the money. I know. They have to check in with you. Is this
sure? The family didn't set it up, though. I just think factually that's important. And I mean, speaking of facts, too, Constance Fisher had paranoid schizophrenia, a chronic lifelong condition. Lindsay Clancy's defense is postpartum psychosis. That's an acute condition tied to postpartum, the period that resolves with treatment. Two different diagnoses. Fisher was released in 59 and under 1950s psychiatric standards, before modern antipsychotics, before structured monitoring, before anything resembling the system that exists today. So using the Eisenhower era, you know, psychiatry to predict the 2026 outcome, or really putting them in the same basket, is not honest, because they're not. It's not the same diagnosis. It's like saying, oh, well, you died of the flu. Well, let's compare rabies. Like, that's not the same thing.
Oh, but Tony, we have been comparing Andrea Yates this whole time. And Andrea Yates was also diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Sure.
And actually... No, yeah.
I know, but you brought her up. So I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. You brought up.
Also, everybody's upset about the drug she's been given in this modern era, right? With modern medicine. Everybody's upset about that. So what does it matter whether
it's not, they're not upset at the drug she's been given. They're upset at the irresponsible way at which they were doled out to her. That's the problem. The drugs aren't the problem. It's one provider not knowing what the other one is giving the other, and the dosages and getting on and off. That's the issue. It's not the drugs themselves.
She was physician shopping and she was pharma shopping. She filled 13 medications. She's a nurse. And by the way, I'll reiterate, they still recited off the same drugs. I was sitting there listening going, oh my gosh, she's on all of that?
It was 30 prescriptions. So there were 13 different medications in the course of the time. But it was up and down, up and down. So, I mean, the way that works, essentially, I've said it 1,000 times. Okay, so you get prescribed 10 milligrams of X drug. Okay, the next time you're going, I don't like this, or maybe we should go up, maybe we should go down. Okay, well, you already got that script for 30 pills. Okay, well, you want to go to the next one to 15 milligrams? I'm just throwing random numbers out here because this is how it works. 15, okay, great. You took 7 of the ones in that jar that were 30. Okay, so you got 23 left, and that's now a jar that's not being touched. See, she's not taking those meds. No, she was prescribed the next dose, up or down, and then she started taking those. And then she was prescribed the next dose, up or down there. And so then you have those empty bottle after empty bottle because the next dosage gets prescribed at 30 or 90-day intervals. So, yes, you're going to have a lot of empty bottles. That's just how the math works. It's not...
Do you think she followed what she was told or just took a couple here, a couple there?
She was wanting to change it all the time. I mean, that's a fault of
she was changing it as the effects weren't working.
That's her fault. Is anything Lindsay?
It's the medical providers that need to say, we're not just going to fill this shit like Tic Tacs for you.
I'm asking you guys. I have a question for you all now. Did Lindsay Clancy do anything wrong? Anything in this whole thing, or everything's the provider, everything is somebody else's fault. It's all her husband, her mom, you know what? Everybody's responsible. Did Lindsay Clancy, this is my question, do anything wrong when it came to her own medical care?
Yeah, she went with Dr. Tufts at the very beginning. That was the dumbest friggin' mistake she made. She listened to Tufts. 100%.
She didn't demand better care.
100%. I mean, she listened to the 12-year-old that got up there with 1 month experience outside of being inside of her clinicals,
so and that's said, what she did wrong.
"Yeah." And she, in my estimation, yeah. But is any human being flawless in the system? Yeah. So I think she chose the wrong healthcare providers, and she was trying to work the system. She was working the system. Yeah, she was trying to find someone to fix her. She kept screaming, fix me, fix me, fix me. Everyone kept saying, you're broken, 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 but no one could come up with a way to fix her. So, when I listened to the testimony, all of it, absolutely every minute of it, what they were doing was she wasn't shopping for drugs. And the way they prescribed it, according to Tufts, was that she was allowed to, she'd make a prescription for a period of time. She would take a couple, and then she was told it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for this to take effect. But what was happening is she'd take the medication. It made her more she had less sleep taking medication, so she had to stop it because of the effect it was having on her before it even had a chance to take effect. And so then Tufts would say, all right, I'll prescribe something else. Let's try this. And so they kept switching up her medication based on reports that she's given on the effect it was having on her body. And also the fact that she's battling because she didn't want to be on medication because she's afraid of being addicted to medication. And she also was breastfeeding her youngest that she wanted to do, but then she couldn't do. I mean, so all these little data points, she wasn't shopping for new drugs. I mean, she's shopping to find something that was actually going to work to get her to sleep. And she's going to she kept going with Tufts throughout this thing, but Tufts wasn't deconflicted and coordinated with everyone because she then go to this person and tell this other person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. This person, I'm going to Dr. Tufts. But none of these people are talking back and forth with each other, so that they're prescribing this Tufts. So you see the mess that was happening? So was she making a mistake? I don't know. I don't think so. I think the medical system made a tragic mistake because they weren't...
She's already not in a competent state.
I can't agree with that, though.
I'm stating the testimony.
But that's what happened.
Exactly, I just can't agree that this nurse... Well, no, you're stating part of the testimony, but you're not stating the testimony from the medical provider's view. My whole thing is...
What I miss? Tell me. Fill me in.
On Tufts? What is her testimony?
She met with her for 13 minutes and actually had the counseling session for 13 minutes. The total session was 30 minutes long, drop down menus.
That is this telemed that was chosen, by the way, by Lindsay Clancy. Get your ass in to somebody.
She
had a nanny. Get your ass in.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
If you're having problems.
That wasn't Lindsay's choice.
That's what I'm saying. It's Lindsay's choice.
No, that wasn't Lindsay's choice. We were in COVID era shit where it was, we're going to do everything via telemed still, if you remember that era.
What? So she started seeing Tufts during the lockdown, so she wasn't able to go in person. And then when actually the lockdowns lifted, Tufts kept seeing her virtually the entire time. Tufts never once met her in person for all the sessions right up until the day before. And that was not a choice that was highlighted by Lindsay.
She did see others in person. She didn't do telemed for everybody. I mean, there were so many different providers here.
There were a lot of different providers.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
Some of this has to be on her shoulders.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue this conversation. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bruschi, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.